Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Good morning. Good morning.
Our scripture reading comes from Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 39. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Praise God. I'm so glad he leads us all the way. Amen.
Amen.
God is good.
All the time.
And all the time. You know, I remember when I was a young girl and, you know, the Crusades would come in, like, they would invite preachers to come one preacher in particular used to have this saying. Just before he, you know, preached the word of God, he would repeat, he would say Maranatha three times, have the church repeat it, and then at the end they would come in and they would join in and say together, Jesus is coming again. Can we do that today? When I say Maranatha, you say Maranatha. I'm going to say it three times and you repeat it. And then at the end, the last Maranatha, we're going to practically shout it, Jesus is coming again. Amen? So Maranatha.
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 Maranatha. Jesus is coming again. Do you believe that he's coming again? If you believe he's coming again, say praise the Lord. If you believe he's coming again, say hallelujah. Amen. Today, I'm so thankful to God to be here, first of all. Thank you again for the invitation. But I'm also thankful to God for the theme. Amen, somebody. Watch and pray. Jesus is coming again. You know, there's so many other churches that have very cute themes and whatnot, and it's, you know, it's all very inspiring and motivating. But one thing about the Adventist church, our heritage, is that we are the ones heralding the coming of the Lord. Amen? We're the ones who are the ones assigned to prepare the way for the Lord. We are, so to speak, that voice crying out in the wilderness. Amen, somebody. And I love the fact that Joy of Troy chose this theme, watch and pray. Don't stop there. Jesus is coming again, because he is. He's even at the door. And we have to realize that some of us are sleeping, amen? No, have mercy. And we need to wake up. Amen. So without further ado, we'll get into the word I've chosen in keeping with the theme, watch and pray, Jesus is coming again. The scripture today, I believe God led it me to it, amen. Matthew 24, verses 36 to 39, and I'll read it in your hearing. And it says, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. The title for today's sermon is As in the Days of Noah, dot, dot, dot. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for another opportunity, O God, to hear a word from you. Lord, I pray that you may now empty me of self, empty me, O God, and fill me with your Holy Spirit, O God, and let me speak words, preach words of life, O God, words of power, Lord God, that will awaken us, O God, to your coming, Lord, because indeed you are coming. So, Lord God, help us to be sober. Help us to be vigilant. And, Lord God, I pray that we may heed your voice today. In Jesus' name, amen. As it was in the days of Noah. Noah and his family were the only righteous ones on the entire earth. There was a great falling away until everything was just so apostate. God was sick of it. He was sick of the whole mess. Genesis 6, verse 5 and 6 says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination," can you imagine? "Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and it repented." Can you imagine God repenting? "It repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." I don't know if anyone here noticed, but hasn't the world gone completely insane? Isn't it completely topsy-turvy, as we would say? Hasn't it not gone berserk, as young people would say? Homosexuals have been given the green light to get married. And those ministers who refuse to marry them are being sued. In fact, I read the other day that a baker recently sued for refusing to bake a cake for a gay wedding. And it's like the LGBT is calling all the shots. Somebody say, have mercy. Wrong is right and right is wrong. Also, I don't know if you've been paying attention to what the Pope has been saying and spitting out. Have you been hearing his rhetoric, especially when it comes to Sunday? He is strongly encouraging and campaigning for Sunday rest. Also, he is spewing out notions that Jesus, and I quote, is not coming back anytime soon. Another thing he's talking about, and this is very interesting, is that Christianity does not exist outside the Roman Catholic Church. I don't know about you, but that makes me tremble. It smells of prophecy unfolding, if you please. God has given us fair warning, has he not? He has prophesied through prophets, the apostles, and even his own son what is to unfold so that we might be aware of the nearness of his coming. He gives us fair warning, just like he gave the people in Noah's day. The only thing is that they didn't know the reality of God's warning until the day Noah entered the ark and the floods actually came. They didn't know until then that God meant business. They let his warning slip in one ear and out the next. And if we are not careful, hello somebody, If we are not careful, if we are not watchful, we are likely to repeat the same mistakes that the antediluvian world made. The Bible says, by faith, Hebrews 11:7, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah didn't build this ark in the dark. It wasn't done, you know, secretly. It was built openly. It was built in the open for all to see. Are you hearing me out there? He didn't build it overnight either. God warned the people for 120 years. But no one wanted to hear it. No one wanted to believe it. And nobody wanted to accept it. Have mercy. Isn't it like today? Huh? We're heralding the coming of the Lord and nobody wants to believe it. Nobody wants to accept it. And nobody wants to receive it. Even the Pope himself is saying, well, I guess he's not coming. Now, what were the people doing while Noah was building that ark? The Bible says they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage. And the Lord warns us that this is just the way it will be in the end. He warns us to watch. He warns us to pray that we be counted worthy to escape in that day. Luke 21 says, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. That means overindulging and drunkenness and the cares of life. Is anybody caring about this life? Huh? Sometimes we're so overwhelmed with the cares of this life. We're distracted by the cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unaware, he says, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. If we're not cautious, if we're surfeiting, as the Bible says, or overindulging and taking up with the cares of this life, we might be repeating history here. We might find ourselves in the same predicament as our antediluvian predecessors. 2 Peter 3, verse 3 to 7 says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. In other words, Peter is saying, listen, what happened then is going to happen now. It may not be water next time, but it will be fire. Scoff all you want. Say, oh, he ain't coming. Sorry, pardon my Ebonics. But he is coming.
Amen.
We can see a similarity of these conditions in our present day, can't we? Marrying and giving in marriage. And I don't think there's anything negative about getting married and being given in marriage. I don't think there's an issue in that. I believe it's more of our preoccupation with it. Are you hearing me out there? Some people want God, you know, some single people like, you know, moi, myself, you know, want God to delay his coming so that they can get a chance to marry. Yeah, I used to think like that, but nowadays I'm like, you know what, Lord, what's more important?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You or the experience of marriage? Marriage is service. It's ministry. It's a lot of hard work, Lord. I just come. That's my conclusion. But I don't believe it's that negative. I don't think that marriage is necessarily negative, but it's the preoccupation with it. I also believe it's the merriment of, you know, of the atmosphere. When one got married, you know, they're the preoccupation with pleasure, huh? With that display and going all out for marriage. What about the drunkenness at marriages? You know, and also there's this also this notion of frequent marriages and senseless marriages. I don't know if you guys, does anybody watch TV a little bit? Just a little bit? I don't know. Yeah, a little bit, right? A little bit. But there's this show on A&E or TLC, one of them, called Married at First Sight. Have you seen it? Have you seen it? Huh? Where people are handpicked by some psychologists, sociologists, anthropologists, and so on, you know, and they're handpicked, people who never seen each other, never heard of each other, huh? Never met, families never met, don't know each other. No one knows what each other does in life, but they've been handpicked by these people, put together, and they're and you're marrying a complete stranger. And not only that, but your life is on display to the whole world. Can you imagine? This is what marriage has stooped to. What God instituted. It is all just a game. And it's a marriage by trial and error. And after 6 weeks or so, right? Right? After 6 weeks or so, if you're not happy with that person, guess what? You could get divorced. This is the mindset, the worldview. And I believe that this is what God Jesus was pointing to. This is what Jesus was hinting at. Being married and given in marriage, it was the frivolity that they were treating it with. The common aspect of it. They weren't taking it seriously. Marriage became a joke. I believe that's where God was coming from. And it's interesting to note that in Noah's day, they were doing the same thing. Look, Genesis 6, 1 to 3 says, and it came to pass when man began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always thrive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. So they were intermarrying with the unconverted, thinking no thought of the seriousness of marriage. And I just want to stop right here and say, listen, who you connect with, link with, can either usher you into heaven or usher you into hell. If you don't pick God's choice. Don't believe me. You'll see for yourself. But can you imagine, out of all those souls, in the antediluvian world, just Noah's family was saved. And now when Noah and his family entered the earth, entered the ark, and the door was shut, the people began to realize that God actually, he actually meant business. The ground broke up and the water began to gush out. Huh? Big drops of rain. Clouds began to roll in and the rain just, it was pouring out of the sky. And it rained 40 days and 40 nights, and they all perished in that flood, except those 8 people, 8 souls. They were able to ride above the storm in safety. Only 8. The Lord likens all of this to the end of the age. Only 8. Where all will perish, but for those who are safe in Jesus Christ. Amen. But can you imagine? No, but the sobering thought, only 8. As in the days of Noah, so it shall be. In the time of the end. Interesting to note that only 8 people were spared. Bible says that all are called, but how many are chosen? Few. This is a sobering reality here. Jesus said in Matthew 7:13-14, enter at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many, are you hearing me out there? Many there be which go in through it. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life. And guess how many? Few there be who find it. Only 8. When Christ resurrects the wicked dead, and at the end of the millennium, y'all know about it, right? The Bible describes the number of them as the sand of the sea. Are you hearing me out there? Myriads upon myriads of people, souls from all ages and every corner of the earth. Huh? There were so many of them that they were convinced, or the devil had them convinced, that they could take the city of God, the New Jerusalem. And I say this to say there will be more people lost than there will be those that receive salvation. Somebody ought to pay attention here. Because the world is too preoccupied with the things down here. Are you hearing me out there? The enemy has got the world distracted with all of its cares. But he doesn't only have the world distracted. He has the church distracted as well. I won't lie to you. This woman's ordination thing had me distracted. And we are concerning ourselves with the mundane. I'm talking to myself now. Because if we were focused on the true mission of Jesus Christ, we wouldn't be concerned who is the head. If we truly had the mind of Christ, these things wouldn't matter. He said, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Whoever is the greatest among you shall be a servant. If we truly understand, we wouldn't be so preoccupied, I'm talking to myself, with a slip of paper. God had to wake me up and tell me that that paper will be inconsequential when I'm running from my life in the time of trouble. No one is going to care about that paper when the time of the end comes. Huh? they're going to be more concerned, oh, sister, can you pray? Let's pray right now. Than a piece of slip of paper saying, I'm approved. What matters more is, are you making your calling and election sure? Are you letting the people of God, but people know that my coming is at hand? He slapped me over the head with that. Are you readying the people? Because the bridegroom is coming. Are you telling the people about it? Church, joy of joy, as the days of Noah, so shall it be at the time of the end. Preoccupied with mundane cares of this life, drunkenness, and I'm not just saying inebriated with alcohol. Drunkenness just means your sleep. Now we know that the coming of the Lord is closely upon us, are we not? Maranatha. 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 Jesus is coming again. Yes, he is. But how do we conduct ourselves? In Luke 21, Jesus urges his followers, watch and pray. Why watch? Why? First of all, because it's our obligation to examine ourselves in the light of God's word. Amen, somebody. Paul urges Christ's followers in Philippians 2:12 to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. By the way, it doesn't say work for our salvation, but it says work it out. In other words, be engaged, be connected, stay focused. Don't be nonchalant about it. Don't sleep. Don't be comfortable in the fact that you were baptized so many years ago. Constantly be checking yourselves. Amen. Stay alert. Live in readiness is my point. Live in readiness. Watchfulness is readiness. I'm reminded of those 10 virgins in Matthew 25, verse 5, where 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. The 5 wise made sure they had extra oil just in case the bridegroom delayed his coming. And the 5 foolish took no thought of it at all. They couldn't care less. And sure enough, he did delay. And the 5 foolish ran out of oil, and the 5 wise stood ready to receive the bridegroom. This story is telling us that we need to be anticipating, amen? This story is telling us that we need to live in a state of readiness. We need to make sure that our lamps have extra oil. Do you have extra oil? In other words, we can't afford to be careless with our spirituality. We have to stay in touch with the Spirit of God. And there are those of us who will end up being lost because we have not been keeping our lamps trimmed and burning with spiritual oil. Instead, we are allowing ourselves to become careless in our living, disregarding spiritual maintenance of the soul. Neglecting prayer, getting caught up in the things of this world, and it could be just the little things, but it's still things. And those things can still draw us from the presence of God. Have you ever wondered why? Why didn't God put the time and date in the word? Why didn't he hide it in there? Why couldn't those poor people in 1844, William Miller, be correct about this return? Why wouldn't he keep things simple and allow us to find out the day, the hour, and the minute when he would come? Why couldn't we be privy to this data, this information? And I have the answer, because I believe he knows who we are and how we are. You know, we don't know the day or the hour of when he's coming now, and look what we're doing. We are procrastinating and putting off praying, studying, listening, meditating. Just imagine if we knew the exact time. Have you ever wondered that? His coming is heaven's closely guarded secret because the Lord wants us to live in readiness every single day. Amen. If we knew exactly when he would return, we would wait till the last minute to get right. We would wait till the last minute to repent, to connect with him in prayer. We wouldn't care to enter into relationship with him at all. We would wait till the very minute, just before he comes. He knows that last minute stuff is not going to cut it. Are you hearing me out there? Those who wait till the last minute or procrastinate, my teacher always used to say, those who procrastinate won't cut it in my class. And he was right. He sure enough was right. I remember I had a huge Greek New Testament exegesis paper due at the end of the semester, 15 pages, if you please, at 45% of my grade. And I was already struggling with the quizzes at Mercy. So it behooved me to get started on that paper early, to do my research early, so that I can get a good grade to bring up the percentages of those quizzes. But guess what happened? Huh? I waited 3 days before this paper was due to get started. It took me, I didn't sleep for 3 days. It took me so long to gather the information, the research. Then I had to do the outline. And then after I did the outline, I had to start typing. And that was first draft. And then second draft. I didn't sleep for 3 days. And I'm telling you, at the very last minute, and by the way, he didn't accept any late papers. If you weren't there for 9 o'clock, if those papers weren't on his desk by 9, it was considered fail. And he told us, he warned us. But I waited till the last minute. Are you hearing me? And I was typing, right? And then all of a sudden, my computer crashed. And back then, I wasn't backing up stuff, if you get my drift. And I wasn't saving as I went. So when it crashed, all my data just got erased, except for 2 pages of that thing. And I tell you, I waited till just 45 minutes before the class began. And I told myself, I can't start this thing again. I can't do this. So I took my 2 papers and I said, Lord, please have mercy on me. Please, Lord. And I got to class for 9, and I put the paper in his face, and I said, this is what's left. And he looked at my paper, and he says, there's 2 pages. I said, sir, I worked like nobody's business getting that paper. I had 15 pages, and I did my best. I didn't sleep. Sir, doctor. And he says, okay, I'll give you a day to get it done. That was mercy, yes. But, you know, it was just like the 2 temples. The second one didn't compare to the first one. So the rush paper didn't compare to the one I worked on. And guess what? I got a mediocre grade that didn't bring up my average, and I had to repeat the class again. Justice. Procrastination. Last minute stuff won't cut it with God. It does not work. As in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the end. Are you hearing me out there? So the Bible says, watch therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. In other words, get ready, ready, be ready, be prepared. I'm coming again. Matthew 24:27, for as the lightning comes out of the east and shines even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Jesus is going to come quickly, and he's going to come suddenly. All these things will have a quick progression. All will be caught unaware except for those who love him, amen, and are living in readiness, anticipating the moment when things will unfold. It won't catch them unaware, but it will catch those who are asleep unaware. It's not that we've got to recognize this day when it comes. No, it's that we've got to be ready when it comes. Watching and praying, living in expectation, and thus caught up to meet him in the air. We need to be ready. And many won't be ready because they're still preoccupied with self. Taken up with the cares and pleasures of this life with no thought or time for the Lord. A lot of those people will be church people. Churchy, but not serving the Lord in truth. You don't want to become one of those, amen? You want to be found watching, praying, living the life in readiness for his coming. Of all previous generations, we see so much in our day that tells us we are at the end. We see it. Everywhere one looks, prophecy is being fulfilled. Yes, all the signs are right before our eyes. Matthew 24 says, ye shall hear of rumors or wars and rumors of wars. Check. Don't you hear it? Huh? Nation will rise against nation. Check. Kingdoms against kingdoms. Check. Famine and pestilence. Check. Earthquakes in weird places. Check. All these are beginning of sorrows. The Lord said it would be like this at the end. He is Alpha and Omega. He knows. Do we have any time not to be serious? Huh? If we don't make it to heaven in that day, whose fault will it be? Huh? Will it do us any good to blame somebody else? To blame Facebook? Twitter? You know, Elder T. Marshall Kelly, do you know him? Have you ever heard of him? Heard Elder T. Marshall Kelly, a famous baritone within our Seventh-day Adventist community. And he sings that song, Nobody's Fault But Mine. I can't do it. But the song says, nobody's fault but mine. If I die and my soul be lost, it's nobody's fault but mine. He used to sing it so beautifully and soulfully in his baritone, and it was so melodious. However, it was a melodious warning. Nobody's fault but mine. As in the days of Noah, so it will be at the end. Noah preached 120 years saying that the flood is coming. Judgment is coming. 120 years. Some folks preach for 30 days. But can you imagine 120 years with the same sermon? And the people only waited till the big drops of water were falling out of the sky to knock on the doors of the ark. It's nobody's fault but theirs that they found themselves on the outside of the ark. And it will be nobody's fault but ours on the day of judgment. When God opens the books, or opens to your profile and said, I warned you, July 11th, 2015. I sent Michelle to preach, and you didn't heed the call. Do you remember that close call with cancer? And I healed you, but you went back to business as usual. That close call when the car flipped over 6 times and you were spared. I saved you. I called your name then, but you went back to business as usual. Do you remember all those times where I nudged you to wake up and talk to me in the morning? When I nudged you and I said, come to me. Give me your heart. Give me some time. Make room for me in your life. And you made all the excuses in the world saying you were too busy. Or next time. Procrastinating. It'll be nobody's fault but mine. If my soul should be lost. Nobody's fault but mine. If I'm not careful, it's nobody's fault but mine. It's nobody's fault but yours. This is why we are warned in his word to be ready, to be found watching and waiting. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Now there is one thing you can know for sure. Is that he's coming. Matthew 24 says, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man coming. When is this hour going to take place? Do you know? William Miller didn't know. When is it going to be? When? When you least expect it. Have you given any thought to his coming? Could it be today? Huh? You don't know. We don't know. We don't know. Does that mean you can take chances? Live the way you want to live a bit longer? After all, he didn't come yesterday. Huh? So it's unlikely that he'll come today. That's what some of us say. That's what the Pope said. An hour we think not. Don't waste time in trying to figure out when the Lord is coming. The thing is, you can do this. Take time to get ready. When? Now. Stay ready too. That's the challenge. Because we can have a sermon preached to us with fervor and with fire. But we can leave, and guess what? Everything, it comes through one ear and out the next. We forgot about the sermon. What was the sermon about today? It was really good. It was really good. But you know what? I can't remember what it was about. Preach. God is coming soon, amen. Amen. Maranatha. Maranatha.
Maranatha.
Maranatha.
Maranatha.
Jesus is coming
again.
So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew. We don't want God to say that. Can't afford to grow cool or lukewarm. We have to be heated for the Lord. Amen. Watch and pray. Jesus is coming again. Do you believe the word this morning? This afternoon? If you believe the Lord, believe the word of the Lord, just stand to your feet. Let's pray. I'll be remiss, you know, if there's, if I leave this pulpit without making a call. Is there anybody here today who's been sleeping? Sleeping on the fact that God is coming soon. Coasting on the fact that I was baptized so many years ago. I'm Adventist. I'm good. Because I want you to know that that doesn't mean anything. That title doesn't mean anything. What means something is our relationship with God. Amen. And if there's anybody here who wants to reconnect with Christ Jesus, who wants to actually wake up out of their slumber and come to God, now is the time. Now is the time. If there's anybody out there right now, under the sound of my voice, who knows they've been sleeping. They've been just coming to church week to week out of commonplace and routine. The fire that used to burn in their soul has gone out a little bit. In fact, there's a small little incandescence, but it's not burning bright for the Lord. And you want to get rekindled. I'm calling you today. Come to the altar. I want to pray for you. Is there anybody? You want to rekindle that relationship with the Lord? I want to pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you could keep playing. We want to praise your name, O God. We want to bless your name, Jesus, because, Lord, you're so relentless in calling our names and relentless with trying to save us. You don't give up on us. You keep calling us by name. You keep nudging us. And I just want to say thank you, Jesus. Thank you that when we've given up on you, you never give up on us. Amen. When we grow cold and we turn our backs on you, oh God, you keep your face towards us. Thank you, oh God. This is just your grace and your mercy at work, and we just want to say thank you. And right now, the people here standing, Lord God, they admit it. That light that once burned bright in their hearts, oh God, is now a small incandescent light. And they want to be set back on fire for you, Jesus. So right now I pray for the Holy Spirit to come and fall afresh on us right now. Lord God, fill them. Fill me, oh God, with his presence. Lord, help our souls to burn within us as it once burned before, oh God. Lord, wake us up out of our slumber and help us to realize that your coming is even at the door. All the things that you predicted, you prophesied about in Matthew, Lord God, it's coming to pass and we see it now. And yes, you've delayed, but there's a reason for your delay. You're holding back the winds of strife, oh God, because you want to seal us. You're giving us a chance, oh God, Lord God, to make our calling and election sure, to choose you. You're telling those angels, don't touch the earth just yet. There's still some that are sleeping. I need to wake them up. So Lord, thank you. Thank you for your call. And now we open up our eyes and watch. And Lord, I pray now from this point on that our prayer life may be rekindled. Meditation on you may be rekindled. That relationship with you, oh God, may be rekindled. Baptize us anew in your spirit, oh God. Anoint us afresh, oh God, so that we may be ready. We may not be like those five foolish virgins who took no care, no thought. But we may be like those five wise who put extra oil just in case. We want to be ready to receive you, oh God. But help us, oh God. Be our strength when we need it, when we are weak. Please, oh God. This is our earnest plea, O Lord. Revive us afresh. Revive us anew. And I ask all these mercies, O God, in the mighty name that is above all other names, the name Jesus. Let the church say,
Amen.
Amen. Amen.